I'm going to ask the elders to come up at this time, and we're going to be seated up here while they're coming up. Let me just mention that we have taken the questions that had come in by last Sunday and have divided them up between ourselves, and we'll be dealing with those first. If you have something you'd like to have asked, feel free to go out to the back there and pick up a card and write that down, and if we have time this evening, we'll get to those as well. If not, we'll do our best to answer any question that anyone has. We seek to be open and transparent to you as our fellow believers here, those whom are responsible for shepherding, and just ask that you share with us any questions or thoughts you have. We'll deal this evening initially with those that we have. Okay, Brother Mark.
Good introduction, and we really want to thank everybody for being here tonight. We have one prize for the person who left this key in the parking lot. Does anybody recognize that? It's got a blue head on it, broken off. He knows who it is back here. We got a winner. Okay. It'll be right up here. You want me to throw it out there? You can come get it later.
He doesn't trust me.
There you go. Just wanted to start out tonight and just have a quick devotional, some thoughts. I want to ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. For a few thoughts there as we get started tonight and share a little bit of our hearts as elders as we approach this subject of life groups and specifically questions that have been submitted to us over the past couple of weeks. And we want to thank everybody who took the time to ask a question. We looked through them, spent a lot of time at our elders' meeting Monday night discussing the questions and talking about the answers. Some of the questions helped us to crystallize answers, knowing what the questions were that were out there, so thank you for that. Here in 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses speak directly to the elders. Peter is the spokesperson here of the Lord, and he says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." We want you to know that our heart for you and for this assembly is the heart of a shepherd. We know that hopefully that is evidenced. Some of you may see that more clearly than others, but we want you to know that is our heart. In Hebrews 13:17, the first part of the verse says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive." But what I really want to emphasize is the next part of the verse, speaking of elders, "For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account." And we take that seriously. We understand that we have responsibility here to be shepherds, and we want to be wise shepherds. We want to be loving shepherds. Most of all, we want to be shepherds who are under the authority of the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And we seek to do that. We seek to keep each other accountable as we seek to do that. Several years ago, we came up with a mission statement or a mission phrase founded in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, where we read, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And we seek here to think about how we can reach that mission of equipping saints to serve. And how can we do that in the best way? We know that we're responsible for the oversight of the flock as a whole. We want you to understand this, we also understand that we are responsible for the oversight of each individual sheep. So sometimes those things don't necessarily come in conflict, but we've got to think about all of that. We've got to think about everybody together as well as each individual. You know, shepherds also have to be ready to adapt to a changing environment. A literal shepherd out in the field with sheep, if there's going to be a drought, they are going to do some things differently maybe than they've been doing. If they know a storm is coming in, or they hear that predators move into the area, or the seasons change, they're going to make adjustments, and we would think if they didn't, they would be foolish. Well, we understand ourselves to have that same responsibility. We have to be aware. We have to know the time, know the people. We have to address the changing needs of the flock. People change over time. Different people come into fellowship. Different situations arise. We're responsible for the present condition of the flock, but we also have to have a vision for the future condition of the flock. If we only think right now, if the shepherd out in the field doesn't have any foresight, well, something could come up and he would wish that he had looked ahead and made some plans. So we seek to do that. And we want you to know that all of that, all of our responsibilities, we seek to fulfill those before the Lord without ever compromising Scripture. And as we think of this issue that we're talking about tonight, life groups, and also a 7 o'clock preaching service, the way that we would look at that is, some of you remember not too many years ago when, after for the whole history of the assembly at the Lord's Supper, for the fruit of the vine had always been wine and wine only. Some things came to the attention of the elders. We considered those things. As you look at Scripture, we saw that it's fruit of the vine. It doesn't say wine, doesn't say grape juice. It's the fruit of the vine. And so we made a decision to offer both. We didn't say, forget the wine, we're going with just grape juice. We didn't say, hey, I'm sorry, you folks that want grape juice. We said, we can do both. And so we offered two biblical alternatives, and that's what we are seeking to do with the present concern, to offer two biblical alternatives, and neither one of them unscriptural, neither one of them compromising the Word of God in any way. And in some ways, you could make an argument, if you wanted to argue, we don't want to argue, but you could make an argument that in some ways, the life group gatherings are, if you're looking to meet according to the New Testament pattern, you could actually see that in some ways, that could be closer. Not that they always met in smaller groups, but we know that they did meet from house to house. So we have felt like that this assembly is somewhat at a crossroads, and we want to be proactive in not waiting until we are in the condition of some of the surrounding assemblies. Some of us speak in different assemblies. We see what's going on around us. We see assemblies that one time were very healthy that aren't. We are not prophets, but we can seek to look together. And with your input, which we got on the survey last year, we're seeking to move forward, hopefully in a way that honors the Lord and that will be effective to fulfill our mission. How can we best equip you to serve? How can we be a part of that? How can we all grow together, be edified, be built up? What's the best way to do that? And there's not just one best way. And obviously, we have a number of meetings already. So I just want to close this little devotional thought with, please, we want you to know that we love from our hearts every sheep in this assembly. We do. We love every family that's a part of this local assembly. We love every ministry that is a part of this local work. And so we want you to know that. Please know our hearts as we come to you tonight and try to answer your questions. We know that we're not going to make everybody happy. We're not going to make ourselves completely happy. But we're seeking to honor the Lord and do what's best for the overall assembly. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave.
We do want to thank everyone who took the time to sit down and fill out the surveys. There were somewhere in the neighborhood of 130, right about that, that came in, give or take just a few. Many, many of those were very, very well thought out, and we thank you for that. Just to reiterate very briefly a couple of things that from the verses that Mark had read. You know, we read that God's people, those who make up the church, those who make up this local assembly, have been purchased with his blood. And God's people are precious to him, precious to him. We as elders have a responsibility to shepherd them, to minister to them, to do all that we can to see that their spiritual needs are being met. And if they're not, to try and take steps to address that issue. I've had the opportunity of speaking with numerous elders in other assemblies and spoken with a number of pastors and leaders in other churches. The fact that Patty and I do some work with Haynes Lionberry gets us into a lot of churches, And I just had an opportunity to talk with leaders in some fundamental, primarily Baptist churches. And I would tell you that what we're dealing with here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel is absolutely common among other fundamental churches and assemblies throughout the United States of America, from coast to coast, north to south. We're facing similar situations to many, many of those. What is that? It's declining attendance at meetings. Now, there are other issues too, but one way to measure, certainly not the only way, the health of an assembly, certainly not the only way by far. Again, we would rather be 10 feet deep and 5 inches wide than we would be the opposite of that, 10 feet wide and 5 inches deep. But having said that, we recognize that when you have declining attendance, looking forward, you have issues that have to be dealt with, or the day will come when you'll close the doors. And that is happening in many assemblies and many churches throughout the country. Just by way of assumptions, let's assume that Sunday morning we have 225 people here. Not going to be more than that, less than that, and I'm not dealing with exact numbers. Let's assume that Sunday night we have about 70 here, and that's the average for Sunday night. Again, sometimes more, sometimes fewer. That's about one-third of what we had on Sunday morning, and on Wednesday night we will have maybe 50, 60, somewhere in there, give or take a few. Now, I've spoken with people in other assemblies, and when I've mentioned the attendance that we have on Sunday night and Wednesday night, they have just said, wow, how do you get that number of people out? Well, we're thankful for everyone who comes. We are. But those meetings are strategically planned to meet the spiritual needs of people, believers in this assembly. And when people aren't coming out, we just feel a real need to try and address that and see what we can do for the two-thirds that will come out Sunday morning but don't come out again Sunday night or Wednesday night. We as elders are responsible to shepherd those, whether they're here, whether they're not, and it's a whole lot easier to shepherd people who you see and you're able to communicate with regularly. In the surveys that we sent out, something a little bit over 70 out of the 130 or so, somewhat over 70 expressed a real interest in small groups, and we're going to call them life groups. There were 58, if I recall correctly, and I think I do because Patty and I counted them three times, who said that they wanted to maintain the current meetings the way they are. Now, some of those who said that also expressed an interest in small groups, so it's sometimes difficult to know which way you're leaning when you see that. Suffice it to say that there were people on both sides, over half, who wanted small groups and who gave us reason to believe that if we had small groups, those who are often not attending now would in fact participate in those. Those were the Sunday night meetings concerned. Again, many, many of those who are in regular attendance on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights wanted to keep those meetings and wanted to keep them just the way they are. Doesn't mean that they couldn't be adjusted one way or another, but they were not looking at a small group in the worship meeting or something in the worship room. They were looking for a meeting similar to what we have right now. And with that in mind, I'm going to take the three questions that I was given out of these and just try and answer these to the best of our ability. One question was, please reassure us that there are no plans to shut down Sunday night preaching service. Okay? I would tell you that at this point in time, there are no plans to shut down or to close or to stop the Sunday night service. There are none. Now, that does not mean that going out some period of time that things can't change. If, for example, a number of those who have been coming to Sunday night decide that they'd prefer to be with a small group for whatever reason, and the numbers were to dwindle down significantly, we could end up meeting in the worship room or something else. But at this point in time, trying to answer that as honestly and best as we can, there are no intentions or plans to stop the Sunday night meeting. Second question, please explain the Sunday night meeting. Is it going to be in the worship room? Will there be music, etc.? Will there be Bible study or what? Those who are coming on Sunday night, for the most part, appear to like the meeting the way it is. They appear to like the instruments. They appear to like the special numbers that we have. And they like the variety of ministry that we have from various men coming and speaking on different topics, generally men who are well prepared and speaking on material that can be very, very beneficial to us as believers. Our intent at this point in time is to keep that the way it is to the extent that we can. And we know of a number who have committed to staying with the Sunday night meeting. Didn't have to force them to. They wanted to stay with the Sunday night meeting, are willing to help with the instruments. We believe willing to help with the special music. And our intent is to continue to keep that meeting as it is. And if some of you who will be attending the Sunday night meeting have ideas on how that could be enhanced and made more appealing to you or to others, please bring those to our attention. We will certainly listen to them. The third question I had here was, will we begin to have some outside speakers? And I'm not sure exactly who the person who asked this question had in mind, but I would say that if there are speakers from outside that you'd like to have speak here, please bring that to our attention, and we will certainly look into it. Again, we cannot get any speaker that we want any time. Many speakers who we like, a lot of other people like as well, and many of them are busy speaking in other places and may or may not be available to us. Further, there's the question, if you're asking someone to come and speak on a Sunday night and he's going to speak for, say, 40 minutes, that's what we try and give a speaker Sunday morning or Sunday evening, are you going to ask them to drive for an hour and a half, for example, from Raleigh, then an hour and a half back, 3 hours of driving, so they can speak for 40 minutes? Now, I'm not saying that that is never advisable. Sometimes it is. I'm just saying that it's a consideration that we need to keep in mind when we do that. So please bring to our attention those from outside you'd like to have speaking here, and we will certainly look into that. Those were my three questions. We as elders, Mark and Ronnie and Sonny, will each be involved with one of the life groups. I'll be responsible for the oversight of the Sunday night meeting, so please feel free to come and express your views or to ask any other questions that we failed to answer. Thank you.
I will just mention quickly, we do have John Gordon, who will be here all day Sunday and in October for some special meetings. John Kinlaw is also scheduled to come before the end of the year, and he'll be speaking Sunday morning and Sunday evening. That's in October.
I'm next. I have five questions that I'm going to try to answer. First question, why have a Sunday evening service as usual when the young will be meeting elsewhere, on or off campus, in small groups in a relaxed setting, which is their attractive preference and appeal? First, as Dave has said, we will continue the Sunday night service for those who prefer the Sunday night preaching meeting. For some, learning and growing spiritually, this is a better way. However, of the number of people who filled out the surveys, there were approximately, I had a number of 67, I think Dave said 70. Give us a little leeway there. It was one of the two, but it was more than half were for the small group Bible studies. And we're calling them life groups. Of the 67 or 70 for the small group Bible studies, 22 of them were 65 years old and older. So it will not be an age situation where we are just doing this for the young people. And we are confident that having a mixture of ages is very important. The Bible study groups, life groups is what we named them, will be made up of all different ages. The input that we've gotten from other assemblies that have started these kind of groups, the younger people stated in these other places where they had these small life groups or whatever they called them, wanted older, more spiritually mature Christians in their groups. And conversely, the older Christians wanted the younger ones for their enthusiasm, their excitement, plus their ideas and thoughts. Question number two. Why are you even doing this when you're only going to have four or five small groups? We felt like life groups would make individuals better students of the Word. We also felt like, even as Mark has mentioned, that we do not want at some future date, and we don't know what date that might be, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe different from that, that we would have to close the doors of this assembly because we did not attract and we did not keep younger adults. The lifeblood for the continuation of any work is attracting and keeping younger, growing, spiritually developed younger people to take the places, the areas of service and responsibility that some of us older people have now. I'm 76. I'm not 39 anymore. Jack Benny carried that for a long time, but I'm not 39 anymore. And at some point, a lot of our Sunday school teachers, some of we elders, will age out. Could be for health reasons. Could be because we want to move over and make room for some younger men. But anyway, we need to have lifeblood, new lifeblood, coming in and staying with us and growing so at some future date, they can move into these areas of responsibility that a lot of you and some of us are now involved with. We're going to have 15 in a group maximum as far as these four Bible study life groups. And we're doing that so as to make it easier and more comfortable for more participation, transparency, and close Christian fellowship. We are starting with four groups. And if we get 15 for each group, that would be about 60 participants. That's old math for everybody. If we need to, at a later date, we could and we would have more groups. Currently, and some of you know I'm a bean counter. I count every Wednesday and I count every Sunday. That's one reason I usually sit at the back on Sunday nights. I count how many people are here. And occasionally I may miss a little head down here at the front, but I know about what we have. And currently, we are averaging about what our brother Dave said, 70 to 80 people on Sunday nights in attendance. Question number three. How will we be assured that such small groups will not be separated into age-based groupings? From the very start, each group will consist of all various ages. I alluded to that a little bit in the answer to the first question. From our study and homework earlier with input and advice from other folks, including two from Emmaus, we were told and we learned that having a wide range of ages in the various groups is very important. Even as I had said about the older ones wanting the younger ones and the younger ones wanting more, some that are more spiritually mature. Question number four, ensure that as supported by scriptures, such groups will be moderated by those that are mature and sound in their faith and doctrines concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, we were told, we were informed by other folks, different assemblies, and Emmaus folks, that the most important element, the most important piece or pieces of the puzzle was to pick the right leaders. After much prayer by each elder and as a group of elders, having much prayer and very much discussion, we decided on these men to lead the four groups. And I don't know whether Mark Shelley is going to name his group Group 1 or whether he's going to be A. I'll leave that up to him. But Mark and Jeff Kimmel will be the first group that I've got listed here. Ronnie Murdoch and Jack Proctor will be leading the second group. Renji Silas and Sonny Apple will be leading the third group. Stephen Batts and Rob White will be leading the fourth group. I have the fifth question, and that's my last question, and it's two parts, but I've already answered the first part, and that was a direct question. Who are to be the leaders? And I just read those to you, so you know who those will be. The second part of question five was, where do they meet? Well, there are going to be four places. And some of this we took from input from the surveys. Several people who filled out the surveys preferred meeting in homes. And they did not say, I want to meet in this person's home or that person's home. They just said they liked the setting of meeting in a home. So here are the ones where the different groups will meet. One group will meet at Carolyn Shelley's, and that will be, of course, the home setting. One group, and these people volunteered their homes, okay? Ronnie Murdoch volunteered his home, and so the second group will meet at Ronnie Murdoch's house. One group will meet at the Chapel House, and that will be Steve Batts and Rob White. And then one group will meet here in the chapel in a Sunday school room, most likely will be where we would meet, and that will be Renji Silas and myself. If you have further questions of me about the answers that I gave, I apologize to you, but when this is over, I hate it. I'm going to miss the ice cream. And Ronnie doesn't like for me to miss the ice cream, but I've got to go to Raleigh and pick up my wife, or she may be calling one of my grandchildren who are attorneys, so I will not be able to answer your question, but I'll be glad to do it at a later date.
First of all, I just want to thank all of you for taking the time and the concern to be here tonight, to not only those of you that asked the questions and wanted answers, but those of you who wanted to be here to hear it. So we really appreciate that. One of the aspects that I think I would like to really emphasize that we have seen as a real benefit to offering these life groups is the idea of fellowship. We see that in Scripture in Acts 2:42, and we recognize that we have opportunities, small opportunities for fellowship here already, with sometimes meetings afterward, and even the ice cream social that we're going to have, and the meetings in between, times for brief fellowship. But we felt like that this would really address fellowship in a deeper way, in a way that would give the opportunity for those of us here to draw closer to one another, to really be involved in one another's lives, and to allow us as shepherds to be more personally connected with each of you that are going to be there in attendance. And so we felt like that this would really enhance the fellowship, and we want to emphasize that greatly. I want to springboard off something that Sonny had said as well with respect. One of the things that was really interesting to us with the surveys was that several of the young adults mentioned specifically in their surveys that they would prefer to not have age groups, have them set up by age groups. They wanted to have a mix within the individual groups. And the reason that they put for that was they wanted to be able to interact with some of the older, more mature Christians who have lived life longer, had more life experiences, have raised families, and be able to interact personally with them, to perhaps run questions by them of the things that they're currently facing that these older, more mature believers have already faced in their lives. And giving that opportunity to interact on a personal level that way could help strengthen them. And so for those of you perhaps that are older and more mature, and maybe you're kind of on the fence in which way you want to go, think of it as an opportunity perhaps that the Lord could use you as far as discipleship with some of the younger ones who might be in attendance. So just wanted to mention that as a springboard off one of the things that Sonny had said. As far as the questions that I was given, the first one said, will people remain in the same group permanently? Now, one of our goals, as I mentioned, is that we have a closer fellowship with one another. Therefore, it would be best to stay committed to one group until we finish going through that particular study. In this case, we're starting out with the book of James. So that's what our desire would be, is to try to stay committed to one group for that purpose, to strengthen that fellowship with those believers in that group. However, we do realize that we're not going to be just hard fast about that kind of a thing, because circumstances may arise that require somebody to change, or this folks can't go to this group, and maybe it'd be better to go to this group. And so in those circumstances, when this happens, we would encourage the leaders of those two groups that are involved to have open communication with those who are being affected, because there are logistical concerns with some of them, because there might be already at capacity for a home or a location where somebody else can't switch a group simply because of numbers, simply because there's not room for that to take place. So we'd have to be in communication with one another if that need were to arise. Of course, after we complete the book of James, after we complete this particular segment of our life groups, then what we want to do, what we've talked about doing, is we recognize that, you know, this is a something that we're going to have to tweak. We can see there are so many moving parts to this. There are so many variables. We've done our best. We've done a lot of homework. We've researched this and talked to those who have been. And one of the things that I'd like to mention is we met with an individual, an elder, in an assembly in Canada. And one of the things that really struck me is he talked about the involvement of the people in the assembly in their life groups. And one of the things he said is that it actually strengthened their prayer meeting, because the people who were coming and being committed to the life groups ended up also being committed to prayer meeting. And obviously that's one of our concerns as elders, is the growth of our prayer gathering. That's so important to an assembly. We're so dependent upon the Lord, and we need him. And so we see that as something that we want to strengthen as well. So after we complete the book of James, we recognize we may have to do some tweaking. And then at that point in time, we'll put sign-up sheets out again and allow people to, you might choose to go to a different location at that particular point in time as we tweak things. The second question I had is, if all groups are studying the same things, will we be able to switch groups? And so I already answered that in that question as far as switching groups. The third question I had is, where or will there ever be different options, such as electives, that we may choose? And of course, that's a future kind of a thing. For this first time, we felt like it would be best if we're all on the same page and studying the same thing. And then at the end of that, we may decide, you know what, we can allow each group to kind of feel led to go in a different direction as far as a study. Or we may decide, you know what, we like doing it all together, doing the same thing, and we might continue to do it that way. So we're open to that, and we'll just have to wait and see as we pray and seek the Lord's will when we finish the book of James. The fourth question I had says, why is a matter of such importance being given time and topic restrictions, and why is a meeting of this importance being held on the same night as the ice cream social? So there are two parts to this question that we have here. And I don't know why I was given this one about the ice cream social, but it just kind of worked out that way. But it's our heart to have open, honest communication with each and every one here, and to give an opportunity for clear understanding as what we want to do and what our goal is in this. Why we want to do this is so important. It's not, we don't see this as being the cure-all. We don't see this as being the solution. The Lord is the solution. And we trust the Lord to use this as a tool to help better equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so we want to be we want to have that open communication and have this meeting tonight for that reason. And then, of course, studying the book of James, we feel like will help us along those lines. And, of course, if anyone has any more questions, as the others have said, after our meeting tonight, we encourage it. We want you to come to us. We want you to understand. We're not trying to hide anything. We want it to be very open. The second part of that is that we chose to have this question and answer session tonight after we had we'd looked at all four of our schedules, and we looked at the speaker schedule that was already set, and this just happened to be the night that it worked out the best for that opportunity to do that. We did not try to rearrange anything as far as lining up the ice cream social for this time along with it. So then the last question I had is, are those with responsibilities such as youth workers, nursery workers, sound techs, ushers, honeybees, mountain movers, and such, are they going to be excluded from life groups? And then a secondary question related to that, that I'll answer at the same time, is how will this change affect the children's ministries? Unfortunately, I tell you, we went around and around talking about the logistics of these groups and the best time. And unfortunately, we could not come up with any time that did not affect someone one way or another and their ability to attend. And so we regret not being able to find a time that would suit everyone to be able to attend, because that was our heart's desire, to offer it in that way. But once again, after we finish this first section on James, we're going to be open to ideas. We'll be open to suggestions and re-looking at it to see if there is a more effective way at doing that. So having said that, talking about the different ministries, first of all, the Youth Alive and the Mountain Movers, we've talked to the leaders there, and they have agreed to be available 15 minutes beforehand, which would be at 6:15, for any parents that may want to drop off ones involved in those ministries to give them time to get to their particular life group. And then they've also agreed for those same parents to stay 15 minutes late to allow them time to come and pick them up by 8:15. As far as the honeybees are concerned, to my knowledge, there has not been an active group meeting recently with the honeybees, but this will be available if the need arises. As far as the sound techs, we have talked with the sound techs, and we have made arrangements with them, so that base is covered. As far as the ushers is concerned, to my knowledge, we only have one usher here on Sunday nights, and he has agreed to continue serving in that way, for which we're very thankful for that. Concerning the nursery workers, this is going to be somewhat divided into the type of life group that will be affected, because we have two in homes, and then we have two that will be either here or at the chapel house, so they'll be close here. And so for those that will be in the homes, we felt like it would be best for the parents and the leaders to coordinate as to what would be the best solution for childcare. There might be one of the homes or two of the homes might decide, you know, we'll just work it out within the home. Or they might say, well, we'd feel best if you could work out childcare. And so we're going to leave that open to the two that are involved in the homes to work that out with the parents individually. And then as far as the life groups at the chapel, we are planning on continuing to offer the nursery, and the workers will rotate just as they always have as far as doing their service on Sunday nights. So that concludes my question and answers, and turn it over to Mark.
Okay. Just as I get into my questions, one thing we had thought about, just to let you know, even though We can't say every group is going to be just like this. We feel like that each group, just as a sample of what the groups will be like, each group will involve a time of fellowship and sharing, possibly with some snacks, depending on the group. There will be Bible study in each group, starting out in the book of James, and there will be prayer. So those are going to be elements that may be handled differently in each group, depending on the leaders and maybe even depending on the makeup of the group. But the questions that I had, the first one was, will this change affect choir practices and Bible studies? As far as the choir goes, we're praying with Stephen Batts about whether or not there are enough interested and dedicated choir members to continue the choir, whether we had life groups or not. If they do continue, if there is enough interest, they have enough choir members, then they could potentially meet a little bit earlier, maybe 15 minutes earlier, maybe 5 minutes earlier, to allow them to have their practice and still get to a life group. They presently go from 5:30 to 6:30. They could go maybe from 5:15 to 6:15. Bible studies, I know there's a women's Bible study that has been going on Sunday late afternoons. That could continue if the ladies wanted to, if it was scheduled so as not to conflict with the life groups, if they wanted to meet just a little bit earlier. But that would be left up to those who are interested in those studies. We don't want these to get in the way of anybody else's Bible studies they're doing at other times. We encourage those to continue on, though, of course, we'd love to have people involved in these life groups, maybe as in addition to what you're already doing. The next question is actually two questions, or two different questions, but I'm going to answer them together. The first one was, since when was the evening meeting considered as a, quote, secondary, end quote, meeting of the church? And then someone else asked, why is the Sunday evening meeting being de-emphasized? So I'll answer those together. The meeting schedule that we use here at the chapel was originally set over 75 years ago. There's been some various small changes over the years, but I believe that the original elders of this assembly would agree that this meeting schedule that we use is nowhere prescribed by Scripture. What is prescribed is for the assembly to commit steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine or the teaching of the Word, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers. And so the number of meetings that any local church and any local church leadership selects to fulfill this pattern is not laid out in the Scripture. And of course, the Scripture is our standard. Tradition is very helpful and beneficial, but ultimately, Scripture is our standard. We go to 1 Corinthians 14. It appears that one meeting fulfilled all of Acts 2:42 for the believers there in Corinth. If you just read that chapter, you would come, I believe, to that conclusion, or actually those chapters 11 through 14, if you read those together, which I'm sure you have. In Acts, it seems that they sometimes met every day, though it might not have been necessarily as the corporate church. But the idea is, whether you do it one day, which we believe Sunday is the day that we should come together to break bread, that's the pattern of the early church. We see that's when they met. But if you wanted to meet every day of the week or every night of the week, there would definitely be nothing unscriptural about that. So we would never discourage that. So we could scripturally, we could meet once a week, or we could meet multiple times every day of the week. So the evening meeting is secondary. Now, that's not our words. That was the word of the questioner, and he or she put it in quotations. It's secondary only in the sense that Acts 2:42, we believe, is already being fulfilled by the meetings that we have otherwise, the Lord's Supper, the 11 o'clock family Bible hour, the Wednesday night prayer meeting. So we look at that and we see we are fulfilling Acts 2:42. So in that sense, today as we meet, that is a, quote, extra meeting. There's nothing wrong with an extra meeting. Extra meetings are good. I've been to assemblies that had way more meetings than we have. They might think we're unspiritual. Most assemblies probably today do not have a Sunday evening meeting. We continue to do that, and we think that it's valuable. So we don't feel like that we're de-emphasizing or considering it secondary in any type of negative way, but rather just a realistic way as we look and say, how can we minister in this other way without asking people to give up more time I would like to think that we would all have plenty of time. We could do everything we wanted to for the Lord, but we know that's not realistic, and we want to be realistic and sympathetic. So I hope that answered those questions. The next question, how will we be assured that we won't be, as has so often happened recently, trapped into conformity with the world and its standards? Now, I don't know whether this questioner is referring to Christianity in general or to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel in particular. If the questioner is saying that Shannon Hills Bible Chapel has recently been often trapped into conformity to the world and its standards, I know that the elders would respectfully disagree with that understanding. And we are definitely open to anyone coming to us to discuss what they see as compromise with the world. I think when you look at compromise with the world, you first got to make sure you have a biblical definition of the world and also of compromise. Because what some people consider compromise is not compromise with the world, but it may be getting away from tradition. But we're going to stick by the Word of God. And if we're doing something that is compromising with the world that we're not seeing, we want to know about it. And so we invite you to come. We'll gladly discuss it. If we see that we're compromising, we will deal with that. But it may be that there are differences of perspectives on that. If the concern of the questioner is that compromise in other churches may affect us, then the way that we would answer that is that the oversight of these groups and the involvement of elders and men who are carefully selected for, among other things, not the only things, but they also, we wanted to make sure of their doctrine and of their discernment. And we have more than one leader in each group. There is plurality there. The group leaders are going to be in contact with one another. We're going to be discussing things, meeting together as needed. So we're not going to have lone rangers out. Not that something could not slip in, but we will be on guard about that. So if that is the question, I hope that answers that. The next question, will women be able to participate vocally? We want to mention here that no one, male or female, ever will be required to share or answer questions in a group. So we don't want you to think, whether you're male or female, that you have to speak if you're in the group. That's going to be an option. We hope that you'll feel comfortable participating, but if you don't, there'll never be anybody forcing anyone to be verbally involved. But we do feel that these groups are informal meetings, some in homes, some in the chapel house, one in the chapel house, one in a Sunday school classroom. We don't view them as corporate meetings of the local church with the whole church coming together. So the women will be able to speak. We don't expect them in those groups to necessarily be covered, though they can be covered if they choose to. We would not in any way discourage that. And we would also feel like that they would not need to be silent in that setting, because it's not a meeting of the local church, but rather a gathering for fellowship and Bible discussion. There will be selected men who will be leading. Our leaders are all male, and they will continue to be male. Most likely, though each group may be a little bit different, but most likely the different groups will divide up into male and female for some more intimate prayer times. That may look different again in different groups, but we do believe that in that setting, that the women biblically would be allowed to participate vocally. They will not be teaching, but there'll be a sharing time, a discussion, and the way that the groups are going to function, nobody's really going to be teaching. It's going to be a Bible study. We're going to have the leaders who are going to be overseeing. They're going to be responsible for moderating those meetings and guarding for false doctrine and helping keep things on track, making sure that one individual doesn't dominate the conversation, and that includes the leader. So if I start dominating, my co-leader can kind of get me back on track. And one of the brothers we talked to said that that actually occurred in their group. So My last question is more of a practical question, and it's a good one to end on because it's what we'll do after this, and it's not about eating ice cream. But there were three questions. I'll read all three of them. They basically were the same. One, will we be assigned to a group, or will this be by choice? Number two, what dictates which group you are to attend? Number three, are you invited to a group or just come? So basically, it's how do you get in a group? Good question. So tonight, when you leave this room, as you exit this room, just to your right, ice cream to your left, but to the right, there are two tables. There are sign-up sheets on those tables. Up on the windows, there are signs that show which group it is. Murdoch Proctor, Shelley Kimmel, Bats White. And then Silas Apple. And then there also is a sign-up sheet if you would like to continue coming to the 7 o'clock preaching meeting. Now, you don't have to sign up. It's not like we have a limit, but that will help us in planning. It will help Dave in coordinating music and speakers and other things. So if you could do that, that would just be a help to us. It's not required. But if you're going to be in a life group, we would ask you to sign up at the appropriate place on the sheet. We're trying to keep the group small. We started out calling them small groups. So we're going to start out, as Sonny mentioned, we're going to ask that there be no more than 15 individuals in a group. Now, we don't want to be legalistic about that. We want to start out like that. Obviously, if there are 15 in all the groups and you want to invite somebody or there's 15 in your group, we're not saying don't invite somebody. You know, we would hope that this would go so well that the groups would grow and the group of 15 would become a group of 25 and we could split that into two groups. If we did that, the elders would continue to select vetted leaders to be heads of those group and coordinating those groups, but that would be great. But we want to start out with 15, and we want to limit it because we have four groups, and it would be great if we didn't have 25 in one and six in another. We're going to actually probably have more than six anyway, but if we did, so in each group, you'll notice as you look at it, there are already probably six slots filled in. There is the leader and his spouse, his wife, the assistant leader and his wife. And then we wanted to make sure that all the young adults didn't end up in one group. And we also wanted to make sure that the young adults, many of them who have been involved already in small group studies and have some understanding of how that functions, we'd like to spread them out. So we've asked some different couples, just would you be willing to be placed in a group? So that there's at least one young adult couple in every group, and there'll be hopefully more, and there will be in some groups, but every group will have at least one young adult couple. So you'll see six or seven of the slots are already filled up, so that leaves the ones below that. So we do ask you, just a practical thing, if you could just put one name per line. In other words, put your name on one line. If you're signing up your spouse, put them on another line because it's not 15 couples but 15 individuals. So try to do that, and we're going to try to keep 15 per group. If all the groups are filled, if all four of the life groups are filled, then and you go up and they're all filled up, then by all means, feel free to sign your name up. So we also hope to, after we get the sign-ups out here, after everybody who wanted to sign up has done it, we hope to bring the list up to the Ice Cream Fellowship. So if you want to go on up there, we'll try to get those up there so you could sign up later because we know it could be possibly a little crowded. The list will be back out on Wednesday evening, every Wednesday evening up until they start, every Sunday morning and evening out in the hallway to allow for further sign-up. So we hope that we have been able to adequately answer all the questions that were submitted by last Sunday. We apologize that we don't have more time to answer more questions, but we wanted to be thorough in the ones that were submitted ahead of time to be fair to them. So as has been mentioned probably by each of the elders, we are open anytime except for Sonny after this meeting. He's got to get to the airport. But we're open anytime to conversation, to discussion, to concerns. We hope that this clarifies some things, and we understand that we've been talking about life groups for a long time. Seriously, probably for close to a year, but we really been talking about small groups for probably 10 years. We've had people over these years come to us and ask if we could have small groups. And we feel like the time is right, that the Lord has led and directed us to some people that have been excellent resources, and as have been mentioned. So anyway, we'd love to talk with you more about it. We're not trying to push anyone to be in a life group. We love the 7 o'clock preaching meeting and hope that it continues to flourish. God continues to use it. But we believe also that there are a lot of people that can really benefit by these life groups. And we want to encourage you. We don't want you to feel like in any way that you are betraying a meeting of the church. And that's one reason that we're saying the Sunday night preaching meeting is not the meeting of the church, because we don't want anybody to feel like, well, if I go to a life group, then I'm backing out on one of the meetings of the local fellowship. You're not. All of these are legitimate gatherings of the believers on Sunday evening from our perspective, and we don't want anybody going against their convictions, but neither do we want you to have a wrong understanding. So I'm going to pray, thank the Lord for the ice cream. I don't know if I can ask him to bless ice cream to our bodies, but Carl Pfaff does have two flavors of healthy ice cream. So if you're concerned, then you go to that table. Sonny?
Give them the starting date.
Oh, the starting date, yep. And a lot of this information was not what we said tonight, but a lot of the other information that we didn't cover was in the bulletin back in the month of June for the whole month. But September 17th, the life groups will begin. We're looking forward to that. So let's pray. Thank you for your attention. I don't know if you're here tonight mainly because of the discussion or because of the ice cream, but this is an excellent group. We're talking about, I think there's like 150 people here. I think there's like double what we normally have on Sunday night. So either we need to have ice cream every Sunday night or a discussion every Sunday night if we're going to keep doing this. So, okay.
I vote for the ice cream.
Okay. Lord, thank you for your provision for us, mostly for our salvation, for our forgiveness, our relationship with you, that you made us new creations in Christ, those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Thank you for our discussion tonight, for the good questions, the honest questions that were asked. We pray, Lord, that our answers have been adequate to answer those questions. Lord, we pray that folks will come to us individually if we can be clearer on anything. Thank you for the food you provided. Thank you for this fellowship, this assembly. Lord, we love you for what you've done over these past years, and we're excited about what you're going to do in the future. We look forward to your hand being continually upon us for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. We encourage you to go out, sign up, and then go enjoy some ice cream. And love to talk with you more. Thank you for the sound guys getting us set up for this up here too.